We're just about halfway through the book of Romans. There are 16 chapters in Romans, so when we finish this chapter, we will have done exactly half of the chapters. But most people consider Romans 8 to be the pinnacle of Romans 8. This is kind of where it's all been going. Now, that doesn't mean it's all downhill from here, but it's the high point. Some people, including myself, like to call it the Great 8 because of the amazing truth in Romans 8 that it contains in such memorable phrases and sentences and arguments. Remember when we started this series, I said that all roads lead to Romans? And then I started quoting the beginning of verses to you, and then you quoted back to me the end of them. Remember that? Well, a bunch of them were from Romans chapter 8. It is just that precious, that awesome. I think we'll be camping in Romans 8 for at least a month. I see at least 4 sermons on Romans 8, and it could turn into more. I promise not to stay here for a year or years, but that would actually be very easy to do because it is the Great 8. Today I want us to just get through the first 4 verses. And really, the biggest thing I want us to get across is that verse that we're now memorizing, that first verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, our new hide the word verse. Say it with me. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No condemnation. If you get anything out of today's message, if you take anything home with you from the service this afternoon, I want it to be that. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me that the Spirit would apply that truth to our hearts? No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. We just sang that, Lord. And now, Lord, I want to preach it. And I want, Lord, not just to hear it with the ears on the sides of our heads, but with the ears of our heart, that we would be open to this truth and that this truth would sink into us and get a hold of us and change us. Help me, Lord, to proclaim it. And then, Lord, help us to receive it by faith in Your Son. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 1 is just about as surprising as it is precious. Verse 1 is just about as surprising as it is precious. If you remember, last time we were in Romans together, we were reading to the end of Romans 7 about the war within Christians. That ongoing battle with indwelling sin. A battle that sometimes we lose, though we know that eventually Jesus will finally rescue us from this body of death. Do you remember that? But Christians find that even though we are free from sin and free from the law, we find that there's this other law at work in us. Chapter 7 called it the law of sin. And we find that when we try to go it alone in the Christian life, that the law of sin can actually take us captive once more. Even though our truest self belongs to God and loves His law. The last chapter of Romans, chapter 7, ended with verse 25. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, the flesh, a slave to the law of sin. Ooh, that's a pretty depressing place to live. In the middle of that war within, the battle rages. And then Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And those of us who've been reading carefully say, wait, what? How does that therefore work? How does our lack of condemnation flow out of what was just said in verse 25? And the answer is that the therefore stretches further back. Not that Paul is changing the subject. He's just making it clear what the big subject has always been. And that's justification by faith. Paul is picking up from Romans 7:6, and really from Romans 1:1 through 7:6. Paul is summing up his argument so far. Now, I'm not going to walk you again through chapters 1 through chapter 7. I'm tempted to. It would be a good exercise to see what we have learned. But I will say this. Paul has been arguing for the gospel of which he is not ashamed. And it's a gospel of grace through faith in Jesus. And faith alone. Faith apart from works of the law. Does that sound familiar? That's a radical idea. Especially for a former Pharisee. Paul has said, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. And he says that's actually the way that Abraham was justified. And that by believing in this gospel leads to all kinds of blessings forever and ever. Peace with God, saved from God's wrath, joy forevermore. That's Romans 1 through 5. And then for the last two chapters, Paul has been answering questions and objections to this radical doctrine of justification by faith. Does believing this doctrine lead to more sin? And does it mean that the Mosaic law was the problem? That the law was bad? What was the answer to all those questions? Of course not, right? Meganoita, may it never be. And now Paul is summing all of that up. So that's why Romans 8 starts with therefore. Because he's saying, in light of what I've said now for seven chapters about the gospel, seven chapters of careful argument, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, there is a great battle that still rages within the hearts of true Christ followers. But a great victory, the decisive victory, has already been won. And that makes the outcome of this war predictable and, in fact, inescapable. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that word now. I think that word now means at least two things. One is that there was a time when we were condemned or headed towards condemnation. But now that has changed. For those that are in Christ Jesus, everything has now changed. But I think it also means that we have no condemnation now. See, we don't have to wait for the end of our lives to hear the verdict. No condemnation. It's not just then, it's now. It's not just something that God will say to us someday in His heavenly courtroom, but something that God has pronounced over us, right? Now. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Before we get to applying this truth to our lives, we need to see a little bit about how this is possible. Why is there now this verdict over our lives where God is saying no condemnation? How is that possible? Well, verses 2 through 4 are pretty complicated. I spent most of the day yesterday just trying to untangle them to follow Paul's argument. I'm going to simplify it to say this. There is no condemnation because of the Son of God and because of the Spirit of God. There is no condemnation because of the Son of God and because of the Spirit of God. Now, most of chapter 8, or at least verses 5 through 27, are about the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the main actor in this chapter. Most of chapter 8 is about the Spirit's ministries of bringing life, adopting us into God's family, and helping us with our weaknesses. We're going to learn some great things about the Holy Spirit over the next month. He's going to give us assurance of our great hope. But that no condemnation is not just about the Spirit, but also about the Son of God. What did He do? What did the Son of God do so that we have no condemnation? Look at verse 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, there's the Spirit. You see Him showing up. His power and authority here is called the law of the Spirit, and it produces life and sets us free. We'll see more about that in just a few minutes. But notice that it's through Christ Jesus that the Spirit even does that. And Paul goes on to explain this in verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man. So why is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Because the Son of God took our condemnation for us. Let's pick verse 3 apart a little. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, or by the flesh. Now, that part of the verse, sounds a lot like what we've been learning in chapter 7, right? He's picking off of the teaching that he taught us in chapter 7. The Mosaic Law. Okay, question. Trick question. I'm telling you it's a trick question up front. Was the Mosaic Law a good thing or a bad thing? Yes. Okay. Was the Mosaic Law sin? Meganoita, right? Absolutely not. But did it save people? No. No. It couldn't and didn't save God's people. It didn't justify them. And it didn't transform them. That's a lot of what Paul was arguing about in chapter 7. For all of Paul's love for and knowledge of the law didn't change him. Why? Well, the law was weakened. Not because it was bad, but because we are. The law, which required righteousness, didn't create righteousness in us because we're sinners. In fact, we saw that the law actually increased sin. Right? Remember that plate of brownies? And mom says, don't eat the plate of brownies. Right? And all of a sudden now, I mean, I didn't even want the brownies, but now I do. Right? That's what Paul says about coveting. I didn't even know I wanted to covet until he said, don't covet. And then, boy, I wanted to. Right? So the law increased sin. Was the law bad? No, we were. Okay? But that requirement of the law, as good as it was, didn't change us. Didn't make us holy. Okay? The law was actually doing its job in increasing sin and showing the sinfulness of sin. The law was powerless to save and change us, but God was not. Verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful men to be a sin offering. Well, that's just John 3:16, isn't it? He says, God did it. What did God do? He sent His own Son. Notice it says His own Son. God didn't send someone else's Son. How much easier that would have been? I'll just send somebody else. No, God sent His own Son. And He sent Him in the likeness of sinful man, or in the likeness of sinful flesh. What's that mean? That He wasn't really a man? Or that He wasn't really flesh? No. No, He was fully human, but He was without sin. So He was in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was in the flesh, but only looks like one of us sinners. He was fully human, but without sin. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And what's that? That's the cross, right? That's what we're going to celebrate at the Lord's table in just a few minutes. Jesus died as a sacrifice for sins. Verse 3 again. And so He condemned sin in sinful man. Now, I think that's a bad translation. It should read something more like what the King James has or the ESV. And He, God, condemned sin in the flesh. Meaning in the flesh of the incarnate Son of God. The new NIV, the 2011 NIV, gets this right. It says, and so He condemned sin in the flesh. God condemned sin in the flesh of His incarnate Son. When Jesus was on the cross, He was dying this bloody, terrible, awful death. God was condemning sin in His flesh. That's what was going on the cross. It wasn't just horrific suffering. It wasn't just an example. It wasn't Jesus just being nice. It wasn't just pain for no reason. It was pain to condemn sin. It was the just wrath of God. So the sentence over Jesus at that moment was condemned. As Paul says elsewhere, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. What does God have to do to sin? Crush it. To be just. To be right. For all to be right in the universe, sin must be dealt with. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So why is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Because Jesus was condemned already for them. But Paul says more. He says there was a purpose to that death that goes even beyond no condemnation. And that is that the law, he's always talking about the law, that the law would actually be fulfilled. That we would actually become holy, both now in part and someday in full. Look at verse 4. And so, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that, those are important words in Paul, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit, because of the Spirit of God. What did and does the Spirit do so that we have no condemnation? He changed us, and He's changing us. Jump back up to verse 2 and see the Spirit again there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Now, I think this phrase, the law of the Spirit of life, means the power, authority, and rule of the Holy Spirit who gives spiritual life to God's people. And that law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death, which I think is the same law as chapter 7, verse 25, the law of sin. That power that still attacks the Christian and sneaks up on him and tries to take us over. But Christians have something that non-Christians do not. They have someone that non-Christians do not. Christians have the Spirit of God. And His presence makes all of the difference. It says He has set us free. Now that freedom is not fully here yet. Okay, we saw that last chapter. We're going to see that as this chapter goes on, that there's still that the freedom is not perfected yet. But it's true. He has set us free decisively and finally, and He's doing it progressively. And here's the point: we no longer have to sin. We no longer have to sin because we have this Spirit. We have the personal, powerful presence of God working inside of us. So we're set free, and there is no condemnation over us. And more than that, He's changing us progressively as we walk with Him. So much, in fact, that we fulfill the law. Did you catch that? It says that we fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. Now catch this. You can't fulfill the law by following the law. Okay? You can't fulfill the law by following the law, but you can by following the Spirit. Look at verse 4. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now we're going to see more about that next week. Paul's going to take this in lots of different directions. He's going to tease out the difference between walking or living according to the flesh and walking or living according to the Spirit. I think this is what Paul was talking about back in Romans 7:6 when he said, "We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Can you see how we who have the Spirit have the personal, powerful presence of God at work in our lives and how that changes everything? Because He's changing us, we are and no longer will be the same. The theological word for that is sanctification. The Spirit is working on our sanctification. Our justification leads to our sanctification. Because sin was condemned in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is now changing us so that we live out the fulfillment of the law. And what is that? Well, that's love. Right? Isn't that what the law has always been pointing towards? It's the law of love. Well, because the Spirit makes us lovers, gives us the ability to love. We love others now because the Spirit is at work in us. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that we see that it comes because of the Son and of the Spirit, let's do some application of this glorious truth. In other words, let's get personal. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. 2 points of application. Number one, believe it. Believe it. Let that sentence sink into you. Let that sentence define you. Let that sentence be what you know to be true of you. Put your name in it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for Matt Mitchell. Now, let's do this. We're going to say it out loud, and I want you to put your name in there. All right? And if you don't, I'll know you didn't. All right? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for... I've told several people that this should become their life verse. You know who you are. When I've told you, this Romans 8:1 should become your life verse. Now, I don't really believe in life verses as if you only needed one. But this is one that many people need to take into their heart system and make their own. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even though it feels like it. Even though the world condemns you, even though Satan condemns you, even though your flesh condemns you, where it really counts, there's no condemnation. Even though the world tells you that you're worthless or crazy or stupid or hopeless or guilty or shameful or damaged goods. And when I say the world, I mean those people around you who make you feel like this. And that person that sinned against you, that person that stole from you, that hurt you, that blames you. Even though they make you feel condemned, you're not. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Believe it. Even though Satan and his minions tell you that you're hopeless, that you'll never conquer your sins, that you'll never grow in holiness, that song we sing, when Satan tempts you to despair and tells you of the guilt within, what do you do with that? Upward I look and see Him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on Him and pardon thee. No condemnation. Here's what you tell Satan next time he comes around. Tell him he's right. You say, "Yep, that's right, Satan. I am a big sinner. I deserve condemnation." But then you tell him, "But that's all been taken care of." Because what the law was powerless to do, and I tried the law, it didn't work. What the law was powerless to do because I was a big sinner, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and He did it for me. God condemned your sin already when He put His Son to death. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even when it feels like it, when your own flesh tells you differently, when you're depressed, when you feel defeated, when you feel shame, when you've just given in to sin once more, when you're crying out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" Believe it then. Preach it to your heart. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Make it stronger. Because there is no condemnation. Well, that's just negative. It actually means the flip side, right? It means the opposite. There is commendation. There is delight. There is love. There is pleasure. The pleasure of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about that. How does God the Father feel about God the Son? How does God the Father feel about God the Son? He loves Him, doesn't He? He delights in Him, doesn't He? He takes great pleasure in the Son. Now think, where in this verse does it say you are? What does it say? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, how do you think God thinks about you? He delights in you. He loves you. He sings over you. He takes great pleasure in you. When He says there's no condemnation, that's the verdict. But it's just the beginning of how God thinks and feels and relates to you. Believe it. And number two, live from it. Live from it. And by this I mean live out of it. Make this the unshakable foundation on which you live. That last verse we sang in Christ Alone today. Because there is no condemnation, you can live a holy life. In fact, you will. If you are in Christ Jesus, you will live out a holy life. Not a perfect one, but a holy one, because the Holy Spirit is at work in you. We're going to see that a bunch next week. But the basic idea is that because there is no condemnation, we can live according to the Spirit, and so we should and will. See, there's every reason now to go killing sin in us. Some people think, like Romans 6, that because there's no condemnation, then we could just go on sinning because it's all over. Well, God said no condemnation, so I'll just do whatever I feel like. No, it's because of no condemnation that we can go to work putting sin to death in our own lives. And we can live confidently, boldly, courageously. I mean, if you already know what God thinks of you and what God is going to say about you on the last day, if you already know that, if there's no question about that, then you're free to live the way you know you should live right now. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the devil thinks of you. It doesn't even matter what you think of you. Because you know what God thinks of you. Then how free you are. Therefore is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Live like it. Unless, of course, you are not in Christ Jesus. If you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus and what He did for you on the cross, if you have not put yourself in His hands, if you've not turned from your sins and trusted in Christ, then you are not justified. You're not being sanctified. You won't be walking with the Spirit. You are condemned and you're heading for condemnation. This promise is only good for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have everything to look forward to forever and ever. But if you're not in Christ Jesus, you have nothing to look forward to but condemnation. If that's you, then I urge you to come to Christ, to cling to Christ, to repent and put your faith in Christ, because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Would you pray with me? And that's who I want to pray for first, Lord. For anybody here for whom this verse is nothing but bad news. Maybe they've been around Christians. Maybe they're church people. Maybe they're good people on a certain level. They keep their nose clean. But they're outside of Christ. They have no union with Him. They have not come to Him by repentance and faith, by turning and trusting in the Savior. Lord, I pray for anybody in that dangerous place to come in, to open the door of their heart and to receive the Savior. That's where life is. Spiritual life, real life, life eternal. Forgiveness, peace with God, reconciliation, joy, no condemnation. Would you awaken somebody to faith right now, Lord, while we're all praying? Whether it be somebody here in this room or somebody listening to the recording, or somebody that's not even hearing me right now, but we're praying for them because we want them to know this Christ who saves. And we pray for ourselves too, Lord, that we would believe this and live like it, live out of it, live from it. We wouldn't just nod our heads that, yes, that's true, but it would be the banner hanging over our lives. It would be the truth emblazoned on our hearts. That the verdict then, and even the verdict now, is no condemnation. Because of that, we're free. Free. Lord, would you set some hearts free right now with this truth? Maybe people are living for what others think of them. Or they're living in defeat internally. I pray, Lord, that this little sentence would get in them and then go off like a gospel bomb. Totally change everything for them. Would you do that in me, Lord, so that I stop worrying about what other people think of me? I would live for your glory. Set us free to meet the righteous requirements of the law, to live out love by your Spirit, because there is no condemnation. And more than that, Lord, help us to feel it. Not just to believe it by dint of mental force, but to really know it in such a way that it changes our hearts, our feelings, our affections. So that we would know your love for us, your delight in us, because we are in your Son. We are in Christ Jesus. Would you do that, Lord? Would you minister your word to us in that way and in whatever way you see best? We pray it in the name of Jesus.